so everywhere. Let him come. Whosoever will, let him come.
Hi there, this is Andy. Thanks for joining us today. Listen, before the Bible study starts, can I just remind you to sign up for our weekly recap email at calvaryottawa.ca? It really is the single best way to know what's going on here and to stay up to date with us. All right, well, it's time to open up your Bible and get your heart ready to receive. May the Lord bless you in your study of His Word.
Acts chapter 15, verse 36, we read, "After some time had passed, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let's go back and visit the brothers and sisters in every town where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing.' Barnabas wanted to take along John Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take along this man who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone on with them to the work." Verse 39, "They had such a sharp disagreement," the old translations say contention, "that they parted company." They separated from one another. "And Barnabas took Mark," John Mark, "with him and sailed off to Cyprus." That's Barnabas's hometown, home area. "But Paul chose Silas and departed. After being commended by the brothers and sisters to the grace of the Lord, he traveled through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches." All right. They had a sharp disagreement and they parted company. And when we read this, we go, all right, who was right and who was wrong? Somebody was wrong and somebody was right. And it's fun to read the commentators in this section because, you know, they'll list all the reasons why they think, well, this one was right and this one was wrong, or they were both right, or they were both wrong, and you know this kind of thing. Let me read some of the ones that they'll say. Here's one. It says, "The contention became so sharp. Wherever there is sharp contention, someone is wrong, and usually there's wrong on both sides. There could be no way that both Paul and Barnabas were each walking in the Spirit on this issue." And then it goes on and says, "Earlier in this chapter, there was a dispute and no small dissension and much dispute." That's, of course, over this important doctrinal matter earlier in the chapter. "Here, the sharp contention seemed less important and more personal." Throwing a little shade around there, right? Like... Here's another one. This is actually something else, so I won't read this one yet. I got a bunch of fun stuff here. Anyway, so a lot of people think that Paul was in the right. They think Barnabas was in the wrong. And the way that they'll frame it is they'll say, what happens here is that Barnabas's name is never mentioned in Acts after this. He just disappears off of the pages of Scripture. And so obviously, the Holy Spirit was done with him and only using Paul at this point because the narrative just continues to go with Paul. And so they'll say it was obviously that it was Paul and the church is the one that was behind him. Look at how the narrative reads, you know, Paul was sent with the grace of God, commended by the brothers, and they sent him off. And then, you know, they told the story of Paul. And Barnabas was obviously in the wrong. Barnabas should have submitted to what Paul wanted to do or what Paul wanted to say. And that's the way that it should have gone. And they shouldn't, you know, Barnabas shouldn't have had this sort of family connection with John Mark because he was a nephew of his. And he shouldn't have gone back to his hometown. That just kind of shows his colors, that he really wasn't into the mission. He really wasn't into what the Lord wanted to do, wasn't listening to the Holy Spirit. And obviously the Holy Spirit was on Paul and Barnabas just totally missed it here. And they may not say it quite as strongly as I just said it. But that's basically what they're trying to say. And so that's what they'll say. And then there's other people that will say, well, Paul was obviously in the wrong here because he's excluding John Mark. And he is setting up this impossible standard for John Mark. Look, man, not everybody's a Rambo for Jesus. Paul, like you're unique. Look, dude, you got stoned outside of a city and then you stood up and walked back into the city. Like, who does that? You know, kind of thing. You can't expect everybody on the team to do that, you know, kind of thing. Like, where's the grace? Where's the whosoever will? Where's the, yeah, you can be part of it. The whole first part of the chapter of Acts chapter 15 is about including people that are different than you and may not, you know, see life the same way that you see life, but you still include them on the team. You didn't learn any lesson? Like, include the guy. Look at what he's going to do later. Well, what did he do later? Well, John Mark, later, church history tells us that he's the one that wrote the Gospel of Mark. Well, that's no small feat. That's a big deal. And John Mark ends up becoming a companion of Paul's later on in some of his future trips. We read in Colossians, we read in some of the other letters, Paul is saying, hey, John Mark, he's here right with us. He's part of the team. So, Paul, you're being too hard. You're being too harsh. You're being too mean. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Why not disciple this guy? And then, Paul, Barnabas is the one that came and picked you up. And now you're elevating yourself above Barnabas. You can see the way it kind of goes, right? And oh man, well, who was right and who was wrong? Let me ask you some other questions. Why didn't they pray about it? Again, no prayer in the text. There's no where they say, oh, you know what, let's just pray about it. And then we'll put out the fleece, or we'll flip the coin, or we'll pull lots, you know, whatever it is, and we'll know what the Lord wants us to do. There's none of that in this thing. And we look at it and we go, this is really breaking my brain. And here's why. It's so messy. We look at it and we go, obviously these guys are pretty immature. Like they couldn't work it out, right? To like, you know, like, come on. Are you fighting in front of everybody? Like you standing there in the church going, well, I don't want to take John Mark. And what, I mean, is John Mark sitting there going, you know, Barnabas, get him, you know, and Paul, you're really mean, you know, and every time Paul says something, he's like, you know, like what's going on in that? I mean, what is that scene like? You know, or were they in the back deacon room and just hashing it out, you know? Did they go full Middle Eastern blows? You know, I don't know, you know? I don't know what, we don't know what it was like, but it's really messy and we don't like it. There's another question. Why didn't they, who was their authority? Who was their sending organization? Who was their missions board? Who was the church that was over them in authority? Why didn't they go to the church and ask, hey guys, we can't solve this. Can you solve this? Some of you guys are thinking where I'm going and you're going, whoa, yeah, that's not in there, is it? Maybe they were both wrong. Because we wouldn't do it like this, would we? We would not do it like this at all, would we? It wouldn't happen like this. The way we would do it is we'd have a church split and there'd be another church over here and another church over here, and then we'd continue this fight on into the next coming decades, and that would define our ministries as that jerk over there. You know, that's kind of what we would do. And in fact, I'm reading these things, I'm pulling it up, I'm opening it up, and we're going, we're still in it, man. 1980 years later, Paul's right. No, Barnabas is right. No, and we're still fighting the fight. You understand? Love it. Let's get loud, you know. Obviously, Paul's the champion. Come on, man. You know, Acts is with him. You know, and we go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Let me, you say, Andy, how are we going to resolve this? Well, it's a good question. How are we going to resolve this? Let me read a couple more commentators to you and what they have to say here. This is, and he's a lot of fun to listen to. This is J. Vernon McGee because he's pretty, it's pretty colorful. And he says, I'm glad these two brethren had this little altercation because it teaches me that these men were human and that even the saints can disagree without being disagreeable. They didn't break up anything. They did not split the church and form two different churches in Antioch. They just disagreed. And it's all right to disagree with some of the brethren. Isn't that interesting? John Chrysostom, this is in the 4th century, he, in going through this particular passage, he said, and this is really interesting, he says, the point is not that they differed in their opinions, but that they accommodated themselves to each other. Thus, a greater good resulted from their parting, for which this provided an excuse. What then? Did they withdraw in enmity? He says, did they part from each other angry at each other? He says, no, God forbid. Recall how after this, Barnabas received much praise from Paul in his epistles. He says, there arose a sharp contention, not hatred or rivalry. The contention grew so great that it parted them, for what each other supposed was advantageous, this he did not admit after this because of his association with the other. I think that the parting took place advisedly, and that they said to each other, quote, since I wish to, but you do not, let us distribute the places so that we should not fight, end quote. Therefore, it was because they yielded to each other that they parted. For Barnabas wanted Paul to prevail and so withdrew. Likewise, Paul wanted Barnabas to prevail and he too withdrew. Would that we should part such partings to go forth for preaching. Paul, it says, chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. A wonderful man is he, and very great. This is from John Chrysostom. What is John basically saying? He's saying, listen, don't think about this as these guys being angry at each other and saying, I can't stand to be in the same room with this guy anymore. I'm going this way and I'm taking my friends and you go your way and you take your friends and we're not going. No, that's not what happened at all. What happened was, is listen, I don't want to win this argument. Paul, God bless you. Go. You want to go back and visit the churches? Go. Paul saying to Barnabas, God bless you. I'm not going to hold you to what I want to do. You obviously want to minister to John Mark. Here's what let's do. Let's you go back to Cyprus, which was part of the first part of the missionary journey. I'll take the upper land where the coast up there in the area of Turkey, you take Cyprus, you take John Mark. We're just going to split the work. I'll take Silas, you take John Mark. And they parted company. And what happened was not this angry parting. What happened was an exponential effect of ministry is what happened. Church history tells us that Barnabas had a very fruitful ministry on the island of Cyprus. He was effective with John Mark in that John Mark became useful for Paul later on, and John Mark went on to write the Gospel of Mark in his relationship with Peter. Beyond that, both of their companions, Silas and John Mark, both became very effective in ministry. And that may not have happened without the parting. On top of that, Paul goes in back through the old towns and he picks up a young man named Timothy. And we can surmise that he may not have picked up Timothy if his hands would have been full with John Mark. Timothy takes a huge place in the scriptures. What you see is not an angry parting. What you see is an amicable parting. And what you see is the other person giving the other person the freedom to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and what God's put on his heart. Here's the tension, though. The tension, and this is what I think is going. There's a couple of things that I think is going. This is, I think. Did I say that? I think. Did you guys get that? I think. This is not the say of the Lord. This is Pastor Andy thinks, okay? And that's okay every once in a while for you guys to know what I think. It's okay. Sometimes it's not good for you to know what I think because it's not good thoughts. But these are pretty good thoughts, I think. I think this is pretty good. And here's what I lost what I was going to say. Here's what I think. I did lose what I was going to say. Yeah. Here's what I was going to say. You know, we're all human. I think that they were both right. And I also think that the very Christian virtue of being together and community and love actually was the hindrance for them in doing what God had called them to do. I think the Holy Spirit had laid on Paul's heart to go back and to visit those churches and to see how they were doing. And I think the Holy Spirit had laid on Barnabas's heart, John Mark, minister to him. The mission second, he's the mission. I think the Lord had made that real clear to both of those men. And I think that their desire to continue to be together and to minister together was actually hindering them from doing what God had called them to do. You see, Andy, really? I said, yeah. And I've seen this happen over the years in churches. It's a good problem in the sense that things are good. The relationships are good. The ministry is good, and it's been fruitful. But the Lord is going, hey, listen, I want to do something different. Barnabas, I want you to take John Mark, and I want you to really minister to him. Paul, I want you to go back to these other churches, and I want you to do something different. And I'm going to actually separate you guys. And I'm going to cause exponential growth. I've watched the Lord do that in churches. And I've watched people decide, rather than following Jesus and following that burden that the ministry that the Lord has put on their heart, I've watched them make the decision to stay together. And it's actually gotten rotten. They didn't know when it was time to leave. I have a friend, a pastor at a church, and he spent a lot of time discipling a young man. He was a teenager, ended up becoming a worship leader, and had the joy of inviting him onto the staff as a worship leader. And full-time, paid to praise Jesus. Man, what a job, right? And, you know, just this kind of 8 or 10 year story of discipling this particular young man, and then now in the spot, and now we're ministering together, and oh man, this is good. Oh, praise the Lord, this is so good. And then the Lord saying, yeah, that was good, but I want to do something better. And that's going to be, the worship leader goes this way, and the pastor goes this way. And I watch those two men decide, instead of doing that, no, let's stay together. And it wasn't good anymore. What's the point? Whose authority is here in the text? Who's the head of the church? Church? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. He's the one that calls the shots. Hey, listen, you didn't give your life to the church. You gave your life to Jesus Christ. He calls the shots. And he knows what's in the future. And you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. You know, you got to know when it's time to go. You got to know when it's time to go. Now, I personally, I'm willing to entertain the idea that I may be a little quick on the parting part. And that may be because I've seen it get really rotten. And I may be a little bit strong on the follow Jesus part. And I'm okay with that. I'd rather be a little bit stronger on the follow Jesus part than on the all let's be together and let's all get along. I'm a little stronger on the follow Jesus. That's where the power is. That's where the good is. That's where the wisdom is. And the quicker we get there, the better off we are. Amen? Amen. So I think that's one of the things that's going on here. Another thing that's going on here, and you may relate to this, another thing that's going on here is that if you're John Mark and you're watching these two guys go at it, right? Over you, right? Paul's not the great Apostle Paul at this point. he's still growing, and this is kind of that, you know, with Barnabas, you know, the kind of becoming equals, really, is what's going on there. So he's not the great Apostle Paul here, so it's not this big intimidating thing. What it is you got this guy that goes, hey, listen, you don't cut it. You failed, and you cannot be on this team. I will not suffer you in my presence when we leave that door. That's harsh, isn't it? That's super harsh. All of us are like, you're mean. You're mean. But Paul, I mean, Paul's basically saying that. And then Barnabas is coming back around and going, you know, look, man. Calm down. It's not that big of a deal. Let's spend some time together. Let's get in the Word together. Let's worship. Let's pray. Let's serve together. Let's let the Lord form your character, John Mark, so that you can be this really effective person in ministry. There is two parts of the preparation to be a mature Christian. There is an academic part. There's a content part. You do need to learn some things. But there's also a shaping of the heart and the shaping of character. And that's what Paul was pointing to. Paul was pointing to character. He's saying, listen, your character is not there. When it's going to get tough, you're going to desert us again. We can't have that. You're not on the team. And Barnabas is going, look, the guy's not trash. Let's invest in him. Let's work with him. Do you see this? I have watched this hundreds of times in church. Hundreds of times. I've watched hundreds of times somebody say to somebody else, you don't cut it. You failed and you can't be part of the team. And everybody's like, you're a big jerk. Somebody sets the standard. And then I have watched the Holy Spirit bring a Barnabas around in that particular person's life to help minister to them and to help them grow and to be grace in the situation so that they don't get resentful and bitter and quit completely. Do you see those two things at work? I've had the joy of being the one that sets the standard. I hate that job. I hate it. I hate looking at somebody going, no, you cannot lead worship. No, you cannot be on the platform. Your character is not where it needs to be. And then sadly, watch them prove it. That's been sad. Nobody likes that. I've had that job. I don't like that job. I like the Barnabas job. That's the one I like. But when I've done that, when I've had to set the standard and say, no, this is not going to work, I am always depending and trusting that the Lord is going to bring a Barnabas in that particular person's life. I can't manage that. I have to trust that the Holy Spirit's the one that knows what he's doing. The other thing is that if I'm a Barnabas in somebody's life and somebody has set a standard that they don't meet, it's completely inappropriate to mock the person that set the standard or to belittle it or to say that it's not fair or that it's not right. You're not going to get anywhere. The point is to continue to minister to the person, character, growth, change, the forming of the heart. You guys see this? You see this? You understand this? Hopefully I'm getting some things you're going to think about. You think about your own life and go, yeah, no, I've seen the Lord do that. I thought that guy was the biggest jerk in the world. But then I saw the Holy Spirit bring this other person in my heart and my life. You know, maybe some of you guys are sitting here and it's because something like that's happened. And now I'm the one that's actually, you know, in this church, we're the ones that are kind of, yeah, no, we're going to get there. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. God's going to use you. We believe that God's going to use you. Hopefully you can see that. These are the two things I think. I can't say thus saith the Lord, but these are the two things I think. Remember, Paul's the same one that wrote, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I also ask you, true partner, to help these women who have contended for the gospel at my side, along with Clement and the rest of my coworkers whose names are in the book of life. What is he saying? He's saying, I hope that you guys get along and you agree. He's also the one that says, Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to live worthy of the calling you've received with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, disagreeing agreeably. He's also the one that wrote 1 Corinthians. He says, as it is, to have legal disputes against one another is already a defeat for you. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Why is that? Because God's the judge and he'll make it up. It's okay to be taken advantage of by another brother or by another sister. It's okay. God will make it up. I don't have to avenge these wrongs. What I need to do is I need to love and I need to speak the truth. Buddy, that's the standard. You didn't meet it. We still love you. Amen? Hard things. I got some questions for here at the end of this passage because we're out of time. Here's the question. How are you doing? That's how the whole chapter opened. Paul wanted to go back to these churches that they had led to Christ and established and set up. And listen, they were all autonomous churches, just like this one, full of autonomous Christians just like you. And he wanted to go back and he wanted to say, how are you doing? How are you doing since the word of God has been preached to you? Since you were given the Holy Spirit as a gift, the guarantee of your inheritance as a believer, and you were given the scriptures. And here in English, man, are we blessed with the scriptures. And you were given each other, fellow Christians. How are you doing? Has persecution come? And the plant withered? Has life gotten hard and there's no depth? It's been shallow and the plant has withered? Has the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choked the word, rendering it unfruitful? Paul wanted to know, how are you doing? How's it going? Where are you at in your walk with the Lord? Where are you at in loving one another? Where are you at in growing as a Christian? Paul, in the back of his mind, is saying, have we labored so much for nothing if it really was for nothing? If you didn't take it. How are you doing? Are you growing? Have you taken the gifts that God has given you and made good use of them? Are you in need of encouragement? Are you in need of correction? Are you in need of training? Are you in need of teaching? What do you need? What's your next step in taking advantage of all that we've been given in Christ? And then the question right behind that from the Apostle Paul, and it's my question to you too. How can I help you? Another question for you. Are you like John Mark? Have you been told that you're not enough? That you don't measure up? That you don't meet the standard? That you're not good enough? Have you been rejected, not included, passed over, not given a second chance? Are you struggling with resentment towards those people or towards that person? Was it hard? Will you respond spiritually or will you respond carnally to that? Often the Lord puts a Paul in our lives to set the standard. And often the Lord brings a Barnabas in our lives to encourage and to give us grace. He uses both. Will you respond to what the Lord is doing? Or will you quit, go back home, find something else to do, wallow in self-pity or resentment? There's a side of character that is necessary for growth as a Christian. And are you letting that be developed through trials of various kinds, like James described in James chapter 1. All right, here's another question. Are you following the call that Jesus placed on your life? God called Paul to the cities, to the masses, to the crowds, to travel, to Timothy. And Paul's next step in ministry was actually opening up the gospel into Europe. He was also called to prison. He was called to suffer for his name. Barnabas' call was a call to the one, to the next one, to the unqualified one, to the rejected one, His call was a call to home. His call was a call to being stationary. Barnabas raised up both Paul and John Mark. That is quite the legacy of ministry. Not to be ashamed of. Are you following the call that Jesus has placed in your life? Past success, past teams, past good relationships, past fruitful ministry can sometimes be a hindrance to what the Lord wants to do next, and that is exponential ministry. Some of us are fighting to stay together as a church, and maybe God has called you to plant another church. Are you following the call that Jesus placed on your life? Is he number one? Are you willing to argue and contend and be misunderstood and even part ways with a mentor to follow Jesus? That's what's going on in the text, isn't it? Another one. Are you resentful over a past split? A past sharp dispute, a past parting. Let the text awaken us to the reality. Paul continued. Barnabas continued. The gospel continued. It continues. Let's not get stuck. They had mutual admiration for each other. John Mark was restored. Cities were reached. Assigning blame is the wrong answer and the wrong thing to do in this kind of situation. We need to look to see what the Lord can do in turning any situation to the good for the saving of many lives. Exactly what he did in Joseph's life. The church did not pick sides, and neither should we. Are you resentful over a past split? Why not rather be robbed? Why not rather be taken advantage of? Why are you still fighting a battle that happened in the past rather than moving on to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in the future? Amen? Amen. It's a good word, isn't it? It's a good word for us today.
Come to the Father. Come through the Son. Come by His Spirit. Find freedom.
Hey there, thanks for listening. Listen, if this was an encouragement or a blessing to you, would you let me know? Would you send me an email, andy@calvaryottawa.ca? I'd really love to hear from you. That's andy@calvaryottawa.ca. Well, may the Lord Jesus bless you, keep you, make His face shine upon you, and give you peace. We'll see you soon.
Come through the sun, come back.